Sarvamangalam.
Sarvamangalam.
Yeah. Yeah, then Nimbo, sing a song.
Let's sing the song of meaningful connection.
Yeah.
Story ring.
Oh, yeah.
At your feet, O Marfa, from Bodrak I bow down. Grant your blessings that this beggar will stay in natural retreat. That you stout benefactors are so fondly gathered here makes the right connection for fulfilling the two concerns. When this body hard to get that so easily decays, gets the nourishment it needs, it will flourish and be full of health. When the pollen from the flowers growing in the solid ground, and the honeydew of raindrops falling from the deep blue sky, come together, this connection is a benefit to beings. But what gives this link its meaning is when Dharma is included too. When a body that's illusioned by its parents nursed to life, and the guiding instructions from a Lama who's reliable, come together, this connection brings a practice of Dharma to life. But what gives this link its meaning is when persevering harm bone deeds, when a cave in the rock in a valley with no human being, and someone really practicing without hypocrisy, come together, this connection can fulfill your every need. But what gives this link its meaning is what's known as the emptiness. When a Milarepa's practice of endurance in meditation, and those from the three realms who have the quality of faith, come together, this connection brings about the good of beings. But what gives this link its meaning is compassion in a noble heart. When a skillful meditator meditating in the wilderness, and a skillful benefactor providing the wherewithal, come together, this connection leads to both gaining Buddhahood. But what gives this link its meaning is to dedicate the merit. When an excellent Lama endowed with compassionate heart, and an excellent student with endurance in meditation, come together, this connection makes a teaching accessible. But what gives this link its meaning is the samaya it brings about. When the gift of Abhisheka with its blessing that works so fast, and the fervent trusting prayer where you're praying it will come to you. Come together, this connection gets your prayer well answered soon. But to give this link its meaning, a little bit of luck might help. Oh, Master Vajradhara, the essence of Ashokshomya, you
Would it be good if we began by singing the view, his original wisdom, so on the ultimate view, meditation, conduct, and creation. Of the Dharma Dhatu of the six sources of consciousness, the six ayatanas.
Tango make a make a change than Zoki change to Joe Japan. Make the Zoga thin and the Tamamate now. Timing up a mini little chitty in the heat.
The first verse reads, in dependence upon eye and form, unstained appearances appear. Since these neither arise nor cease, they are the Dharma Dhatu, though they are imagined to be otherwise.
Deva. Zogla sope chinchi dhune. Zog chinchi dry chinchi, day chinchi, roi chinchi, rizzi chinchi, chuchi chinchi, chinchi dhune dhuna. Only your body number keep a lot, no one mind it. Don't turn up your part to hear up the tag in piano. Madrope Senna, Madrope make and soak the Latine. Dolan Deber make and soak Latine. They numb dope a German neighbor. Soak the no one sour teeth. Nama de la Jeva Mija, Gagwa Mepe. Junse Nye de Chuji Ling Yina. De la Jiji Tope Zuzo Ki Rapi Ki 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 Bai Ki Se Ma.
The commentary reads, the six outer sources of consciousness, meaning form, sound, smell, forms, sounds, things that you smell, odors, things that we taste, things that we touch, and the objects of our thoughts, are not the appearances to the consciousnesses of things that actually exist. So these outer sources of consciousness are not the appearances to consciousnesses of things that actually exist. The reason for this is that, for example, independence upon eye and form, which when examined down to the tiniest particle, are found to be non-existent. Independence upon the eye and form, which when examined in this way, we find that they do not truly exist. There is a clear appearance of form that is unstained by concepts. At the very time the appearance appears, since it neither arises nor ceases, it is the Dharma Dhatu. Even though later thoughts imagine, I saw form, and cling to form as being something that actually exists.
Ela tá nanga make te te ta se zo ki te ki ni de tene mo wa na ye de te le de ba le ke pa te bu do la de te ke le ngi ma le ke mi ni de se na Malam ke mekan zog jendo dutelen deb mekan dutelen deb zog jendo. Adgakim mekavam potan mekti zog ni dutelen deb sena chuyengiti. Dakim mekti ni dite chuyengiti ni yendo sena Make a name here, yanda por tiwa meba tenga neba da jawa chiyo teda ta dakin mikin la dikin meba ta megan nam kila nam do meba tenga neba da jawa chiyengi tini de chiyengi tini meba de Rab dhikhi se jete dhaki miki ni la dhite me bata dhaki miki la dhite me be meka nam ti yang nam dhokka trama me ba kyanka ne ba la trawa trawa rikhi na dhene tanda se tinji ba nam dhikhi ji de tinji jirang yin de chuji yin de
The eye sense faculty which perceives form, and the forms that it perceives are not made of anything. There's nothing really there. The reason why this is the case is that in the great vehicle, teachings of the Mahayana and the Mahayana philosophy, we don't assert the existence of atoms, of particles of matter. Because if we examine, we can't find any atom that truly exists. You keep finding a smaller one and a smaller one. You can't find anything. So we don't assert the existence of outer objects, of matter. And therefore, there is no form to perceive, really. There is no eye sense faculty to perceive it. Therefore, when the eye sense faculty perceives form, then it's just like form being perceived in a dream. When the eye sees something in a dream, neither the eye nor that which it sees are made of anything. There are no substantial particles there, existent substance. Therefore, the eye sense consciousness, which arises in dependence upon contact between the eye sense faculty and form, never really arises, never really comes into being, because there's nothing to produce it. So it never really comes into being, it never really goes out of existence, and it never really stays around in the middle. That is its nature. Therefore, all three of these, the eye sense faculty, the form perceived, and the eye sense consciousness, are of the nature of the Dharma Dhatu. Since the first two are not made of anything, and the third one never comes into being. And they are all of the nature of the Dharma Dhatu. And knowing this, we know that the nature of this experience is naturally open, spacious, and relaxed. The nature of consciousness perceiving an object is the Dharma Dhatu, and this Dharma Dhatu is of the nature of openness, spaciousness, and relaxedness.
Mainly Takias and me and Megan. Meglen de
Megne Chashe.
Megne Takias and me and Megan de. Megne is a chicken. Take it up the tick and take it. Take it in me, Megne.
Megne.
چاکی درج سلی چاکی دین دوتی جسی دین چاکی یان مارد دور یان چاکی دور لینده بسی دوریان کمی رنگی میده سی چوچی ینگی رنگی برکی
Jacob composes a verse. So we're going to write it down and then we're going to read it together. If you examine the parts of the eye, EYD, EYDI, you find no eye.
E-Y-E.
Wait for 3 years to get that. If you examine the parts of the eye, you find no eye. If you examine these parts or atoms, you find no atoms. Oh, I'm sorry. If you examine these parts for atoms, you find no parts.
Meaning at parts of atoms, yeah.
No, like the parts of the eye. If you examine these parts for atoms,
oh, yeah.
You find
no
parts.
Yeah, yeah.
The atoms too, T-O-O, are not partless. Right. The atoms too are not partless. Therefore, they are of the nature of the Dharma Dhatu. That again. If you examine the parts of the eye, you find no eye. If you examine these parts for atoms, you find no parts. The atoms, too, are not partless. Therefore, they are of the nature of the Dharma Dhatu. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll recite it.
examine the parts of the eye, you find no eye. If you examine these parts for atoms, you find no parts. The atoms who are not partless, therefore they are of the nature of the Dharma Dhatu. If you examine the parts of the eye, you find no eye. If you examine these parts for atoms, you find no parts. The atoms too are not partless, therefore they are of the nature of Dharma Dhatu. If you examine the parts of the eye, you find no eye. If you examine these parts for atoms, you find no parts. The atoms too are not partless, therefore they are of the nature of the Dharma Dhatu.
So if we examine the eye in this way and find that we can't really find anything there, what we have to conclude is that the eye is just like a dream eye. There's no difference. And therefore, the eye is of the nature of the Dharma Dhatu, the expanse of reality. And here, this expanse we have to understand has the same meaning as radiant clarity, as clear light. We can compare the way that the Heart Sutra and the praise of the Dharma Dhatu teach about the eye. In the Heart Sutra, it says there is no eye. So this is teaching that the eye is emptiness. In the praise of the Dharma Dhatu, it says that the nature of the eye is Dharma Dhatu, the expanse of reality. And this expanse is open and spacious. We've made a logical reasoning of this. We would say, given the eye, its very nature is the Dharma Dhatu, open and spacious. Because if we examine the eye, we find no eye, we find only its components. If we examine these components, we find no components, we find only atoms. And if we examine these atoms, once again, we can't find any atoms. We just get smaller and smaller, and we can't find anything that is partless. Therefore, we can't find anything real there at all. So we don't need to think that the eye does not exist. What we can understand is that the nature of the eye and its experience is open and spacious.
Making 身上那是人体界的灵，穿上足底，穿上穿上足底不扎得了样，足底的鞋跟就不足了。इन्हें चाहिए चाहिए जाता तुम कहाँ जाओगे रब ये निश्चित है ना जो किधर नहीं है ना जो
ऐसा चुम चारों चारों
ओ चार चार तो नहीं आता
ऐसा
ये ले ला पहना ये कि वन का सेना जो थी इन्हें ये कि चाहिए ये देते सो 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 जो कि वो ज्यादा तेल है ना चाहे ज्यादा कम ना से ना इन्हें छाला मारो
मौसम
ये कर सकते हैं
संजा ना ची रेंडी चेना वेन
चेना ना से रेंडी से ना ये सेंसों जवान मूव जोपा सेंसों जोपा जोपा मूव मारो से
Sen
sen Drupa.
Sen son Deva. Drupa.
Seni de tezlerden Deva yani o. Tesir çüt. Tesir bayan. Tesir çüni bayan kendi.
Çünye.
Çünye. Ama güvenim size zaman. Çünyin de çünyi kepay.
Nasıl?
Çünyi bayan.
Nasıl?
Güzel. Nasıl?
Nasıl?
Tamam.
Nasıl? Mikin zükkan, sensin lebeti, lebeti, çiktan tümme dağçir senyime, sınca nabçi rengi çena wen, sensin joğan Majuk Chir, Techir, Chinni Bayan, Chenbu. That was an examination of what is called the empowering condition of the eye sense consciousness, the eye sense faculty. Now we move to an examination of what is called the focal condition that brings about the eye sense consciousness. This is the form that it perceives. Rinpoche makes up, composes the following verse. The focal condition form also transcends definition and object. Focal condition form also transcends definition and object, probably better not to write it down because just yet, let me go through it one time. For since it is free, for since it is neither one nor many, it has no characteristics. Object defined when examined for sequential stages also does not exist. What this means is that what is defined is the word form, and if we examine this word, then it's just a sound, and this sound has many sequential parts to it that occur over a period of time. So it's not just one object, it's just a bunch of smaller sounds in sequence, and you divide up those smaller periods of time into smaller and smaller parts, and you can't find anything. So neither the defining characteristics of this form, which is the thing we actually see, and then also neither that nor the sound, this term form, have any true existence. Fourth line is the connection, any connection between defining characteristic and object defined does not essentially exist. Therefore, it is the Dharmata, the great openness. So now I think we can try to write it down. The focal condition form also transcends defining characteristics, and object defined. Since they are neither one nor many, the characteristics do not exist.
The characteristics?
That's right. Focal condition form also transcends defining characteristics and object defined, since they are neither one nor many, the characteristics do not exist. The defined, comma, when examined in sequential stages, is empty and defined and examined in sequential stages is empty. And no connection between characteristics and the defined exists inherently. Therefore, they are the Dharmata, the great openness. So the main thing to keep straight here is we have two things. One is the characteristics of this thing that is defined, meaning the forms, characteristics that we see. And that does not exist because it's not made of anything. The second thing is the name, form, to which we give a definition or to which we assign certain characteristics. And this name does not inherently exist because it's just a sound. And when you say the sound and you examine the sound, you break it down into periods, smaller periods of time, and you find smaller sounds and smaller ones and smaller ones until you essentially can't find anything.
So when you say here the defined when examined in sequential stages is empty, you're talking about name.
The name, right.
The name. And not the form, not the object.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Adam.
Form also transcends defining characteristics and object defined, since they are neither one nor many, the characteristics do not exist. The defined when examined in sequential stages is empty, and no connection between characteristics and the defined exist inherently. Therefore, they are a dharmata, the great openness.
The focal
condition form also transcends defining characteristics and object defined, since they are neither one nor many, the characteristics do not exist. The defined when examined in sequential stages is empty, and no connection between characteristics and the defined exists inherently. Therefore, they are the dharmata, the great openness, the focal condition. Form also transcends defining characteristics and object defined, since they are neither one nor many, the characteristics do not exist. The defined when examined examined in sequential stages is empty, and no connection between characteristics and the divine exists inherently. Therefore, they are the Dharmata, the great openness.
Since these two conditions have the characteristics of the Dharma Dhatu, the eye sense consciousness neither arises nor ceases nor remains. It has always been free of conceptual activity, and this too proves that its characteristics, that it has the characteristics of the Dharma Dhatu. Tama la ching seni yote nambatope yene tama kichi. Nambatope yene dakpate teyan ching seni chetutu.
Jenga nepa maya nambatope yene dakpate. Number two, but when the people move, it can run there, but the number
two. Yeah, I didn't mean for you to write it down. Okay, since its two conditions have the characteristics of the Dharma Dhatu. Since its two conditions have the characteristics of the Dharma Dhatu, the I sense consciousness. Neither arises nor ceases nor remains. The I sense consciousness neither arises nor ceases nor remains. It has also always been free of thoughts. It has also always been free of thoughts. And so it is proven to have the Dharma Dhatu's characteristics. And so it is proven to have the Dharma Dhatu's characteristics. Okay? Since its two conditions have the characteristics of the Dharma Dhatu, the I sense consciousness neither arises nor ceases nor remains. It has also always been free of thoughts, and so it is proven to have the Dharma Dhatu's characteristics.
Since its two conditions have the characteristics of the Dharma Dhatu, the I sense consciousness neither arises nor ceases nor remains. It has also always been free of thoughts, and so it is proven to have the Dharma Dhatu's characteristics. Since its two conditions have the characteristics of the Dharma Dhatu, the I sense consciousness neither arises nor ceases nor remains. It has also always been free of thoughts, and so it is proven to have the Dharma Dhatu's characteristics. Since its two conditions have the characteristics of Dharma Dhatu, the I sense consciousness neither arises nor ceases nor remains. It has also always been free of thoughts, and so it is proven to have the Dharma Dhatu's characteristics.
Wang Yu Shepa Shen Yu
yin to
center.
Wangu, yorda kibazo, yin to ta, kade to ta.
Wasa.
Namdo, namdo prepare.
Wasa.
Aya.
Mikyen da kyen namshe nampasum, chugi yin le yoa menayam, bachak le jung nampar tope drip.
Number to pay debt. Number to debt.
Maso.
Chewing debt. Chewing kage debt. A callous woman, Nando get debt.
Maso.
Nando get debt the cadet agado. One boy or the keeper the gained the car. Social tag.
Maso.
Make them go your social tag at all?
Not him. Focal condition, don't write it. Focal condition, empowering condition, and consciousness, these three, never move from the Dharma Dhatu expanse, and yet thoughts arising from habitual tendencies obscure this, and imagine that sense faculty, object, and consciousness exist independently. Focal condition. Yeah. Focal condition. Empowering condition. And consciousness. The three. Never move from the Dharma Dhatu's expanse, and yet never move from the Dharma Dhatu's expanse, and yet thoughts arising from habitual tendencies obscure this, thoughts arising from habitual tendencies obscure this, and imagine sense faculty, object, and consciousness to exist independently. So I'll read the whole thing from the beginning. Focal condition, empowering condition, and consciousness, the three, never move from the Dharma Dhatu's expanse, and yet thoughts arising from habitual tendencies obscure this, and imagine sense faculty, object, and consciousness to exist independently. Yeah. Empowering. Again, the focal condition is the form that is perceived, and that's the focal condition of the consciousness. And the empowering condition for the consciousness is the eye sense faculty.
God needs to be.
Focal condition, empowering condition, and consciousness, the three never move from the Dharma. Thoughts expense and yet thoughts arising from habitual tendencies obscure this and imagine sense faculty, object, and consciousness to exist independently. Focal conditions, empowering conditions, and consciousness, the three never move from the Dharma Dhatu's expanse, and yet thoughts arising from habitual tendencies obscure this and imagine sense faculties, object, and consciousness to exist independently.
Focal
conditions, empowering conditions, and consciousness, the three never move from the Dharma Dhatu's expanse, and yet thoughts arising from habitual tendencies obscure this and imagine sense faculty, object, and consciousness to exist independently.
To purify thoughts that stain, in order to purify the stains of thoughts, with the view we gain certainty in the Dharma Dhatu's spaciousness. And by being skilled in relaxing in spacious meditation, the Dharma Dhatu that has been free all along becomes manifest. In order to purify the stains of our thoughts,
our veils.
What?
Our veils, yeah. Stains or veils.
No, well, drima here means stains. Mm-hmm. It's not dripa, it's a drima. It's like a stain. It makes it dirty. In order to purify the stains of our thoughts, drima. So Myron is right. It's veils. So thank you for that. In order to purify the veils of our thoughts, with the view we gain certainty about the Dharma Dhatu's spaciousness, let's say in, with the view we gain certainty in the Dharma Dhatu's spaciousness, and by being skilled in relaxing in spacious meditation, Dharma Dhatu that has been free all along becomes manifest. So I'll read it from the beginning. In order to purify the veils of our thoughts, with the view we gain certainty in the Dharma Dhatu's spaciousness, and by being skilled in relaxing in spacious meditation, the Dharma Dhatu that has been free all along becomes manifest. In order to purify the veils of our thoughts, with the view we gain certainty in the Dharma Dhatu's spaciousness, and by being skilled in relaxing in spacious meditation, the Dharma Dhatu that has been free all along becomes manifest.
By being skilled in relaxing,
right,
in spacious meditation.
Right.
In order to purify the veils of our thoughts with the view we gain certainty in the Dharma Dhatu's spaciousness, and by being skilled in relaxing in spacious meditation, Dharma Dhatu that has been free all along becomes manifest. In order to purify the veils of our thoughts with the view we gain certainty in the Dharma Dhatu's spaciousness, and by being skilled in relaxing in spacious meditation, the Dharma Dhatu that has been free all along becomes manifest. In order to purify the veils of our thoughts with the view we gain certainty in the Dharma Dhatu's spaciousness, and by being skilled in relaxing spacious meditation, the Dharma Dhatu that has been free all along becomes manifest.
Yeah, come on, come on.
Now we'll take a 15-minute break.
Yeah, Zersum Dotsum.
Zersum Dotsum. Zersum Dotsum. So let us begin by singing Rinpoche's commentary to the Three Nails called The Essence of Clear Light Sunshine. By singing this song, which is a commentary on the meaning of the Three Nails, will be much easier for us to understand the song, The Three Nails, itself. So the tune again is the same, but I'll sing the first verse and then we'll start over again from the scene. In the Mighty One Sutras, this place was prophesied as a secret place of the Guru. It was prophesied, a great place of practice, Yomogangra in Nepal, to its victory banner of definitive teachings I bow. Namo Guru Asa Vajraye. The Mighty One Sutras, this place was prophesied as a secret place of the Guru. It was prophesied, a great place of practice, Yomogangra in Nepal, to its victory banner of definitive teachings I bow. Meditation, conduct, and fruition, these are the nails whose points are so profound. But
Logicians may analyze them with reasoning, but they cannot penetrate their profound meaning. Naive meditators may strive and strain while they sit, but there's not much chance that they will realize it. So here I will explain in a concise way the profound points that are found at the ends of these nails. All appearances included in mind, what's the point of this nail? Confused appearances come from habitual tendencies, and all appearances are the energy and play of clear light. So they're all included in mind, that's the profound point. Mind itself is clear light, this profound nail's tough to get. Mind's true way of being cannot be elaborated, and its essence has always been completely pure. That's clear light, indescribable, such a profound point. Then there's the nail that this clear light can't be recognized. Can't say it arises, ceases, or remains. Not something, not nothing, not an object of inference. So your light is unfindable, such a profound point. Whatever thoughts arise, whether they are good or bad, in essence, their arising and ceasing cannot be seen. Their true nature is clear light, undefiled, and so thoughts as dharmakaya are free, this nail was sung. Self-arisen awareness itself transcended mind. In essential nature it is undefiled clear light. Bliss and emptiness, not different things at all. What they are in reality is inexpressible. Awareness, clear light, and bliss are only distinguished by thoughts. Really, these three are undifferentiable. Mind's true nature is not created or contrived. So examining and contriving are in meditation. Undistracted, not meditating, no creating going on. Uncontrived equipoise is meditation supreme. When you realize mind's nature is clear light, all movements of body, speech, and mind are pure. You've actualized a genuinely true virtue. So your natural conduct is the 10 good deeds. When you realize that mind really doesn't arise, all vile thoughts are pure right where they are. The wrongdoer has also always been pure. So the 10 wrong deeds are naturally pure in their ground. The remedy, prajna, that realizes selflessness, doesn't fix up luminous, empty mind one bit. And the remedy itself is naturally pure and free. So it doesn't create emptiness or clarity. The ground is clear light, the Buddha nature itself. Nirvana is its true being, its natural way. The three kayas are present all by themselves. So Nirvana is nothing you import from somewhere else. Samsara is only the movement of thinking mind. Samsara is without root and without base. And the ones in samsara have never existed. So samsara is nothing you deport to somewhere else. This mind itself, this wish-fulfilling jewel, unborn, inconceivable, it's the Dharmakaya. And its appearing aspects is the supporting ground from which the form kayas appear unimpededly. So mind's true nature is Buddha, that's this male. Mind's true nature is Buddha, that's this nail. Like that are the nails that are so very profound. View meditation, conduct, and fruition. All you fortunate ones should gain certainty in them. And after you have done that, here's what you do. So that the practice lineage teachings will spread far and wide. One pointedly practice these nails in a peaceful place. Through all of this virtue may all sentient beings not be attached to provisional dharma of the relative truth. May they gain certainty and profound definitive meaning. And through this may the practice lineage teachings flourish.
Auspiciousness that lights up the universe. Namo Guru Vajra Vajraye. You see that everything in samsara and nirvana is merely dependently arisen. You see the Dharmata, the true being, that is the essence of all dependent arising. The power of your great insight fills the universe with auspicious light. O mighty Shiva Dorje, please rise up now from within my heart. Round's basic nature transcends conceptuality, and like water moon's appearances arise dependently. May everyone realize that this is true,
and dispel the darkness cast by doubt and wrong view, and may their realization's auspiciousness light up the whole universe. The vision of your wisdom, just how things are, you see everything. As parents love their children, so you love all beings. You bring us benefit and happiness. Your power makes disciples out of your enemies. May your auspiciousness light up the universe. For samsara's cause clinging to I and me, the Dharma realizing selflessness is the greatest remedy. May all beings use it to pacify their confused belief that there is an I, and by the power of this great happening, may auspiciousness light up the universe. The ways of ordinary beings you have left behind, the ones who realize reality, the true nature of mind. May you lead all ordinary beings who have not yet entered to the path of peace, and by this may auspiciousness light up the whole universe. May the yidams who bestow the cities and the protectors who clear obstacles away eliminate all harmful conditions, everything adverse to the path, and by this may auspiciousness light up the whole universe. May the noble path of nonviolence flourish in all the worlds there are. When beings meet and interact, may the connections they make be filled with love. And by this may auspiciousness light up the whole universe. And the twilight of this century that has been one of such prosperity may struggle over wealth and gain, disappear and not be seen again. Free from strife and violence, may all enjoy great abundance, and by this may auspiciousness light up the whole universe. This has been a century when science has advanced incredibly, amazing and wondrous these new machines that have brought the gods' enjoyments to human beings. May they be used with skill supreme to end violence and cause peace to reign, and by this may auspiciousness light up the whole universe. May the sciences that explore outside be joined with the inner science of the mind to excellently put an end to mistaken views and confusion, and by this may auspiciousness light up the whole universe. The source of all this auspiciousness is the true nature of mind so luminous. So may realization of mind just as it is set the universe ablaze with auspicious excellence. Through all of this auspiciousness, wherever its light may be seen, with the love and the compassion that make bodhicitta mind supreme, may this thought arise in everyone. Other beings' happiness is as important as my own, and may excellent virtue and auspiciousness always increase, never diminish.
Mm-hmm. Yahweh kusum tu yeta shisho. Nimur delek tsen delek. Yime kunyan delek shim. Yinzen tatu delek. Kuncho sun yeta shi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kalepe.
Go slowly.